The Dead Zone Containment Protocols. From Mantic Games.
A Sense of Unity by Guy Haley.
Who are the Prax?
Whomever they choose to be.
How do we treat the Prax?
With the greatest of respect.
How should we think of the Prax?
We do not think of them.
What is the appropriate response to the Prax?
The appropriate response is caution.
Elementary Asterian mantra inculcated into all juveniles at the dawning of the seventh spring of life.
Kol Hul Min was in absolute accord with his surroundings when the grand Caden He Zhen came to shake his world. At the center of 1,700 square hubards of manicured perfection was the platform. At the center of the platform was Kol Hul Min. All flowed out from him, and all was reflected back into him, at one with the universe, but apart, as it should be. He let out a tremulous breath at the pleasure of unity, the only sign to any observer that he was alive at all. Not that any did observe him. The gentle rhythms of the temple went on around him, disturbing him no more than wavelets lapping disturbed the imperturbable rocks of the ocean. Monks and their acolytes knew better than to disturb such as Kol Hul Min at meditation. He was regarded with awe and a little terror. Kol Hul Min was a master, a fifth high son of the Emerald level, Cipher Squad Prime without compare. The many times he had turned down the honors of higher command had been taken without complaint. The Asterians believed all things had a use they were best fit for, and who knew better than the object in question what it was suited? A hammer never desires to be a saw, was a common saying. A hammer, Kol Hul Min remained. He was the best of the Cipher Primes, and tutor to many lesser warriors of his rank. And so he was allowed to remain high son, and progressed no further through the ranks of the Asterian military command, although his grade of mastery brought much respect. Thus all was right with the universe. As there were heroes of ancient days that were revered and looked up to, so Kol Hul Min was looked up to, be one day revered when the time for his passing eventually came. Kol Hul Min was the master of his body and soul. He was in complete control of his being, from the lowest vibrations of his elemental constituents to the deep thought waves that came from the universal heart and into him and thence back out again, making of him one part of a whole, but apart from the whole, a necessity in his line of work. For without such a high degree of unity, the meshing of the spirit the cipher writers underwent with their avatars would be unsure and prone to malfunction. Such grace Kol Hul Min had, such unity, he was loved and envied in equal measure, a warrior without peer in his field. Yet even Kol Hul Min knew fear when the grand Caden Karu Zhen came to him in the garden of yesterday's temple and told him that the Prax would speak with him that afternoon.
Do not approach the Prax, Hai San. Do not anger him. Do not insult nor belittle him, whether by intention or by mistake. Do not.
Kol Hul Min held up a gloved fist, silencing the grand Caden.
Please, great master. I am aware of the geese involved. I am aware of what must be done and what should not be done. I will not bring trouble upon the Tesseract through ignorance.
The Grand Caden bowed three times in quick succession. Kol Hul Min heard it in the rustle of his robes and in the shift in his shuffling feet.
Very well, Hassan. Very well.
Kol Hul Min wore his finest robes, yet not too fine. A high-collared long shirt of dark gray, metallic blue tabard over it. His supple limbs, slender to human eyes yet possessed of iron strength, were wrapped in prayer bandages of second-grade silk. One did not approach the Prax in first-grade silks for risk of offending them with ostentation. Many other details of his garment were likewise ritually prescribed, from his heeled boots of scarlet to the dangling silver armlets clasped around his biceps. All was according to custom laid down in ages past, and Kol Hul Min had done it all correctly. The two Asterians reached a long line of highguard, their spears rising to vertical with a whisper of silk and steel. Down the gleaming avenue of their Yari blades went Kol Hul Min and Karu Zhen, coming finally to the slender arch of a bridge that connected the convoluted body of Zhen Sing Station with the Orb of Audience. Fretwork barriers guarded the edge, not detracting from views of space above, below, and all around them. The world of Elif, where yesterday's temple was situated, lay at Kol Hul Min's feet, a gleaming orb whose artful geoengineering was especially pleasing viewed from high orbit. They reached the end of the bridge. The great doors guarded by two pairs of semi-active proto-golems slid aside. Beyond the doors was the Orb of Audience. Within the Orb of Audience was the Prax, which was as it should be, But the Prax was not at one with his surroundings as the Asterians were. He stood out, a blood flower in the field of dry grass. The Prax never had, nor ever would, find unity. The sensation of its individuality was as offensive to Kolhomin as the stink of rotting meat. The Prax knew this was how Kolhomin felt. Kolhomin knew the Prax knew he felt that way, but he did not allow it to show in his expression. And so the deadly charade began. The essential fear the Asterian had for the Prax buried under layers of ritual and custom. One did not offend the Prax by showing fear. One did not offend the Prax at all. The Prax could and did appear however they wished to be seen. The Prax was dressed today as an Asterian, lithe and tall, a face of beauteous symmetry, crimson eyes, and long platinum hair tied up in the latest of grander fashion. Kolhomin began his 14 passes of ritual approach, but the Prax stopped him halfway through the second.
Do stop that. It is an enormous waste of time. And although I have time to spare, I think you do not.
He smiled wolfishly. His movements were hyper-energized. No Asterian moved so. The Prax's true appearance was a mystery as deep as time, but they could never hide what they were. Not truly. Until that moment, Kolhomin did not know which Prax awaited him. Now he did. The Prax before him was simply known as the Poet. There were 23 Prax known to the Asterians. Each was different from the others in temperament and disposition, though all were mercurial and deadly. They were older than the Asterians by far, those who called themselves old. One did not underestimate the Prax. The Poet was among the worst of them, devious, his manipulation stretching across the galaxy and down the generations, sometimes seeming benevolent, sometimes anything but. He had interfered often with the Asterians, not always to good effect.
I greet you, Poet,
said Kolhomin simply.
You summoned me?
The Prax waved a jeweled hand at a chair. It took one opposite, avoiding the throne provided by the Asterians for visiting Prax.
Come sit with me. I have a favor to ask.
Kolhomin raised an eyebrow.
Oh, don't look at me like that. I can ask a favor, can't I? As one sentient to another? You people really need to lighten up a little. We watch you crawl out of your caves and set upon the road to the stars. Always so serious, so guarded. You ought to take a leaf out of the human's book.
Kolhomin sat down. A servant rushed forward with a decanter of fine wine. They both took a glass.
The humans are vermin,
said Kolhomin.
Destructive. It has been noted that they interest you more than we do in this era.
The Prax pursed his lips and nodded, waggling his head from side to side. No Asterian was ever so physically expressive.
Yes, they are destructive.
He broke into another wide smile.
But they don't know how to enjoy themselves.
He flapped a hand.
Anyway, it's about them, in a roundabout way, that I have come to you today.
For a favor.
For a favor,
repeated the Prax. It drained its goblet in one, and motioned for more. A draft of wine was worth a king's ransom.
Not bad,
it said.
Not bad at all.
He nodded at the servant, encouraging him to fill the goblet to the brim. When the servant withdrew, the Prax continued.
The great scourge is back.
I have heard,
said Kolhomin.
Grave news.
Well, yes, grave. We'd all rather it weren't. Those greedy fools in the human government have blundered right into the death arc, releasing the damn stuff straight into the galaxy. One of my siblings did try to warn them about it, but they never listened about the really important stuff.
So much for them being able to enjoy themselves,
said Kolhomin. Karujin drew in a sharp breath through his teeth. Kolhomin paid it no heed. This was the Poet. One needed to give as well as take, or he would destroy you. Each Prax demanded its own response.
Quite,
said the Poet.
There has been another outbreak as usual. The Galactic Co-Prosperity Sphere government has locked the planet and shut everyone out.
He rolled the glass between hands that Kolhomin was sure had rolled suns.
For reasons of my own, let us say, I would rather that the information regarding this particular outbreak were public knowledge.
I see,
said Kolhomin.
What would you have me do?
Whenever the corporation provoke an outbreak, they quarantine the planet and shut off their communications nexus, the Navicorp they call it, removing it instantly from the corporation's cartographic and mercantile net. If you are aware how human Starcraft operate, you know that this lack of beacon makes it rather difficult for their superlumina craft to reach the world in question. I want you to turn it back on again.
Kolhomin had taken the barest of sips of his wine. He put the goblet down upon the table between himself and the poet.
Why?
Something ancient and dangerous flashed in the Prax's borrowed eyes. He leaned forward.
Let me worry about that, shall we?
He sat back suddenly, spilling some of his wine.
If you wish to send in further cipher teams to destroy the artifact and those afflicted, go ahead. But it is the imperative that the Navicorp is reactivated. It is in your best interests. I am very fond of the Asterians. I hated to see anything terrible happen to you.
Whether a warning or a threat was immaterial, one did not refuse a direct request from the Prax. The Gulf and Hang ghosted into the Nexus Psi system, passing easily between a pair of enforcer cruisers. The humans' primitive technology did not detect them, nor would it. The Gulf and Hang took up geostationary orbit in the lower reaches of space, close to the edge of the atmosphere. There it would stay throughout the operation. Not that the duration of its stay mattered in regards to its detection. It would not be seen if it were there for a year. Kolhol Min finished his inspection of the ciphers within their cryotanks. Twice as tall and bulky as an Asterian, the biomechanical avatar form had no minds of their own. Each was a blend of organic parts, grown from its Asterian pilot's own gene coding, spliced into a toughened combat chassis. As always, Kolhol Min shivered slightly as he looked into the cold, featureless face of his proxy behind the glass.
Squad, prepare,
he said. Three triads of his best were to accompany him. A full squad, 10 ciphers in all, including him. An expensive mission, the quest at the behest of a Prax. It angered him that they should kowtow to such monsters. Each of his men buckled themselves into the projecting rig next to their cipher's hibernation pod, their support technicians checking over the complex equipment and calibrating the soul circuits for their most effective unity. Kolhol Min clambered into his own last when his men were already plugged in. The connections were not physical, but for proper meshing, the technology embedded into the flesh of the Asterian pilots had to be close as possible to the pickups. A second level of remote operation was available, with the pilots away from their projection units, but this distance increased the risk of fatal disassociation should the cipher be slain.
Cipher units awakening, Hyson,
said the lead technician.
Engage interface. Initiate projection,
Kolhol Min ordered. The lid of his projection unit slid down, encasing Kolhol Min in a plastic womb. A jolt of pain in his lower back started the process. The world beyond the clear window of the projection unit narrowed to a circle and diminished, as if he were falling down a hole. When sight returned, he was looking out of other eyes. His cipher felt groggy with long sleep, while he was still groggy with the projection. He ignored his twitching true body beneath its sarcophagus lid, and went into exercises, engaging his being fully with his towering war body. Kolhol Min was well practiced, and the feelings of sickness retreated rapidly. As his men emerged from their capsules and commenced their own ritual of centering, he armed and armored himself, more technicians aiding him in donning his complex stealth armor and preparing his no-energy gun. Heavy plates encased his cipher's limbs. A swept-back crown piece covered in communication spines was fixed into place on its head. Wings housing the suit's stealth systems were fastened into place at the shoulders. 7 brief ailerons later, and he was climbing into another tube, this time into an orbital insertion pod. Riding a cipher was to undergo several births, one after the other, each time the cybernetic facsimile was mounted. When all members of the three triads were each sealed into similar pods, he gave the order for the drop. They shot out smoothly from the underside of the Gulf and Hang, the ship as invisible to them as it was to the human blockade. Their pods were likewise cloaked and passed unobserved. Through Mindlink, Kolhol Min watched the surface of Nexus Psi rush at him. He saw the thick bands of clouds swathing continents covered in dark green vegetation. Then he was into the atmosphere, energy sheaths working to smooth his progress and prevent friction overheating his insertion pod. The cloud whisked past. The sky roofed over with dull gray weather covered his world. Green forest blanketed the ground below him. His pod decelerated smoothly, gravity impellers slowing it comfortably yet rapidly. There was a brief thrash of branches against its sides as it passed the treetops. It touched down perfectly, and the door sprang open. Kolhol Min's cipher was out instantly, weapon in hand. His men followed. The trees presented a continuous canopy over them. The forest floor was dark.
This way,
he said, motioning with his rifle. He was a ripple on the air, hidden from all detection, but his men could see him.
The outpost we seek lies 2.7 headpods west.
Silently, the cipher team ran through the forest, their passing unnoticed. The human city was ugly. Prefabricated sections bolted together with no thought at all to form, and from what Kolhol Min could discern, barely more thought given for purpose. The desolation of the forest around the settlement was shocking. wide scars of clear felling, dumps of trash that would never degrade, machinery made of inadvisable alloys, already resting in the heat and rain. To call the settlement a city was an exaggeration. Kolholmin estimated a maximum of 3,000 humans dwelled in its cramped precincts. Upon the side of dirty yellow building was stenciled in orange human letters, already streaked with oxidization, G-37. Lesser numerical designations marked each intersection. Someone had scrawled what he guessed to be unofficial street names beneath these. Now blood vied with green pleurisy and rust to obscure them. Bodies lay half buried in the mud of the streets. Many showed signs of having been devoured. The linked senses of his cipher and its warsuit spared him none of the miasma of death that choked the place. This was a common sign in the outbreaks of the Scourge. Kolholmin had witnessed it many times before, and would not have been shocked by it even if he could summon up some empathy for those who had died here.
"Go with me, my warriors,"
said Kolholmin, directing them towards the center of the settlement, where the top of the building housing the Navicorp towered over the surrounding edifices. The third and second triads broke from the squad, fanning out into standard fire cover patterns. The three ciphers, Kolholmin's primary triad, covering his back. None of them needed instructions from him. They jogged down the wide boulevard, past three smashed ground vehicles and a large logging transport. Its cab burned out, and cargo were reduced to wet ash.
"Violence here occurred some time ago,"
he said.
"This is the mindless violence of those afflicted by the Scourge. Be wary, my warriors. There's a chance of conflict with the diseased, and those who would cleanse them."
Sure enough, it was not long before the crack of laser fire reached their cipher's hyper-accurate senses. Inhuman sounds came with it. On the cipher's visor display, a map blinked, showing the layout of the crude city to Kolholmin. The sophisticated technologies of their avatar suits and interface used the sound to pinpoint the disturbance, showing its probable location as a series of red dots. Within a few elrons, the sophisticated demi-mind of the helmet had communicated with the Gulf and Hang and refined the data to show the total number of combatants. Overhead imagery came directly to his true mind aboard the ship and was simultaneously passed into his helmet for his cipher self to see. This led to the peculiar layering effect cipherware sometimes induced. It was a strange sensation, but another he was well used to.
"Seven of them, human warriors, enforcer designation, gathering a crowd of beautiful."
"Should we aid them when our mission is done?"
asked Haiken So Lan, cipher secondary and leader of the second triad.
"They destroyed the afflicted, and it is our duty to destroy the afflicted also. We have common cause."
"Not at this time. The human would not appreciate our aid,"
he said. So Lan had a better impression of the humans than Kolholmin, entirely erroneously, in Kolholmin's wiser opinion.
"We move on. We are fortunate that they are so engaged. They draw the afflicted from our target and do the duty of the cipher teams that will follow us. Our duties today are otherwise."
"Yes, Hi-Sun, Cipher Prime,"
his secondary chimed. The Navicorp was housed in an administrative building which, if no more attractive than the ugly structures around it, was at least more imposing. Several stories higher than the next tallest building it was close to, but much damaged. Its mirrored sides were shattered and blackened all around the base, the damage stretching as high as two stories up in places. Blackened bodies, twisted by more than agonies of immolation, lay all around it.
"Fire is always the first and last resource of those trapped by the flame,"
said Kolholmin.
"I command you to high alert."
The triad slowed, bunching closer, each taking turns to cover the alleyways that divided each building from its neighbors as they advanced down the street. They came to the square the administrative building dominated and paused while a scan was undertaken.
"No signs of life, afflicted, artificial, or otherwise, High Sand Cipher Prime,"
reported Haiken Joshin Go, secondary cipher of the third triad.
"A building and its weapons?
Inactive, High Sand Cipher Prime."
"Then, let us go with you."
Stealthily, they crossed the street and entered the soot-streaked foyer of the building, the sounds of battling rattling in the distance. His men took up station around the foyer, covering the twin staircases and the bank of elevators that led to the upper levels. Behind a long marble reception desk, the word Riker was spelled out in metal letters, an ostentation version of the human script. A large blood splatter marred the sign. A glance behind the desk showed Kolholmin whose blood it was. A signal went up from the third triad. The cipher stopped, the layered ripples their camouflage made on the background freezing in place.
"What is it?"
Kolholmin asked.
"Nothing. I thought I heard something. Now all I hear is the drip of water and the creak of the dead building,"
said Joshin Go.
"No warning should go unheeded."
Kolholmin looked around, the sensors of his avatar taking in and processing the smell of rotting fabrics, old blood, and the tang of greenery beyond the city limits. A sharp, eager scent. The trees and the plants were poised to retake what had been taken from them.
I doubt we are alone. This mission has proceeded too well.
Their staircases wound squarely round one another in the center of the building up a wide atrium, broad landings leading off each level. No doubt the humans were trying to create a sense of space, but it was poorly done and left the ciphers with little cover. One by one, the triads of ciphers advanced in fluid, bounding overwatch.
Shh.
A raised fist from the lead Asterion.
Movement.
Kolho Min sent his second triad to join the first. The three of his triad acted as rearguard, while Kolho Min sprang up the stairs. Rifles pointed down the corridor, leading off from the open atrium. A bang, a desolate moan.
The afflicted. They will not sense us. Stay still. Let them pass, and we will continue on our way.
Said Kolho Min. It was not to be. A dozen twisted humans, mutated into creatures of the second stage of suffering, occupied the corridor. If it had not been known what they had once been, Kolho Min would have struggled to guess at their original form. Their bodies were swollen with infection, skin bulging with retained fluids, hanging down in rippled folds of their hands and feet. Their bones had grown, pushing out in jagged spines from suppurating wounds, or grown broad into armored plates covering back and thorax. Such second-stage creatures could move exceedingly quickly, their infected bites passing on the scourge to those they did not devour. The creatures were ravenous for flesh, needing the material to fuel their own transformation. Whatever simple human minds had once occupied the bodies had fled. These creatures were animals now, reprogrammed to do one thing, and one thing alone, spread the scourge, or the plague, as the humans called it. Unable to see the ciphers, they passed, aimless and restless.
With luck, they will pass,
he said.
Heisen Cipher Prime above.
Kolho Min glanced up the stairs. More of the creatures came into view on the next landing.
Shall we fall back?
No,
said Kolho Min.
We must be steadfast, and then we must be quick. We are close to our objective.
The first triad soundlessly redeployed, moving up the stairs from the level below to cover the landing above Kolho Min and the second and third triads. He had his men hold until it was apparent creatures on their level were coming right for them. Reluctantly, he gave the order.
Fire!
He said calmly. Bright bolts of white no energy blazed across the room, impacting with the pulpy flesh of the monsters. Those that did not fall instantly reacted, leaping forward towards the source of the weapon's fire, with no thought for their own survival. A blood-curdling roar came from above. There was a sound of rapid scrambling, and a tide of diseased flesh came pouring down the stairs. The Cypher's guns were practically silent, but the noise of the battle filled the open atrium like a thunderstorm. Bloated bodies exploded messily, spraying contaminated fluids all over the squad. Plexiglass panels shattered, crashing to the ground. The air hissed as no energy undid its atomic bonds. The creatures roared, cut down in mid-air as they leapt at the Cypher team, slamming into the lobby floor below. One made it through the wall of fire, bowling over Ujin Kar, second tertiary of the first triad. The rotting tips of the creature's hands, distal flanges gleaming through the ripe flesh, ripped off the faceplate of the Cypher and plunged its razor-sharp claws into the organic components beneath before they gunned it down. The gunfire stopped. The afflicted were all destroyed. The last death echoed around the building's hollow center. Tense silence descended. No more came. Josh and Go knelt by the Cypher of Ujin Kar.
Dead,
he said simply, confirming what the Cypher's armor had already told them.
How fares Ujin Kar?
Kolho Min made the effort to speak with his true mouth. The Cypher signals were carried on a brief pulse of seemingly random EM that should be dismissed by the humans. Still, every extra iota of information brought with it the risk of discovery, and Kolho Min wished to avoid that if at all possible. He felt his mind retreat from the Cypher a little as he spoke aboard the Gulf and Hang. A muffled voice replied, heard through the ears of his true body.
He lives, Heisan, Cypher Prime, although it is too early to see what damage may have been caused by the disassociation, if any.
Kolho Min retreated from his true body back into the Cypher, a wave of nausea afflicting him in reaction to the brief moment of duality. He steadied himself, seeking unity.
We must make haste, and we have undoubtedly been detected. The Nav Corps is on the sixth level. Go!
Josh and Go activated the dissipator of Ujin Kar's Cypher. The armored form smoked briefly before collapsing into a fine, undifferentiated white ash. A waste. It would take many moons for Ujin Kar to bond as well with a new cipher. They clattered on, stealth abandoned, racing for their prize. 5 Elrons later, they had located the Navicorps suite. Irfan Khan Udash, their technical specialist, entered with Kolhumin. The suite occupied a large room at the very summit of the building, windowless, powerless, and totally black. The advanced sensors of their ciphers picked out the details of primitive computers and communication relays in the unnatural dark.
"They have not destroyed it. This is good,"
said Irfan Khan Udash.
"I won't be more difficult if we do not deploy our own device."
He tapped a box attached to one leg, housing a much smaller, more powerful Asterian version of the Navicorps.
"But if we can restore their own equipment, there is a better chance of our role here going unnoticed."
"How long to activate?"
2 to 7 Elrons, GCPS superluminal communications technology is dependent on quantum entanglement."
"Primitive,"
said Kolhumin reflexively.
"The particles have remained aligned, maybe less time, but if not, I must recalibrate them."
"You have the coding?"
"The message has been written to resemble a GCPS standard intelligence missive. The revelation of this dead zone to the wider galaxy will look like a mistake on the part of a local commander."
5 Elrons of transmission is all we require,"
said Kolhumin.
"That is all the Prax wished for, and that is all that we will receive."
"Then we must hold here for 12 Elrons in total at the outside. I work swiftly. Hysan, Cypher Prime."
Udash bowed. Kolhumin nodded curtly and joined the other 7 ciphers outside, the 3 members of the first triad falling in behind him. He directed his men to cover. The rest of the floor was filled entirely by a gallery of floor-to-ceiling windows that went around the central atrium and the Navicorps suite. The triads took up position at 3 of 4 corners, 2 of them covering the stairwell. From above, the settlement looked uglier than at ground level, the contrast between forest and human outpost stark and unlovely. Fires burned in the southwest district, sending thick columns of black smoke skyward. They waited in silence for 7 Elrons. Suddenly, a loud and unsubtle transmission blared in Kolhumin's cipher ears, the chitter of high-bandwidth data on repeat. Kolhumin reduced the volume as Udash came hurrying back.
"It is done.
We must wait until the signal has played out for 5 Elrons,"
said Kolhumin.
"Then we shall be away for extraction."
"I send Cypher Prime. Human enforcers approach."
"Coming in folding petal, beware."
Red dots sprang up on Kolhumin's map display. 4 enemy entering the building from below.
"Eyes skyward, they swoop as eagles,"
he ordered tersely. The remaining 3 enforcers came up in the air, jump jets blazing. They took up a hover in front of the south gallery. Ruby light beams stabbed from their guns, smashing the windows along the wall. Still unable to detect the ciphers, they jetted into the building. The heavily armored human warriors landed with a crunch of plexiglass, the blue-white of their jets cutting out. They looked up and down the corridor carefully, not seeing the Asterian cipher team. The triads trained their guns on the humans.
2 Elrons, Hysan, Cypher Prime,"
said Udash. Kolhumin curled his lip. The lead enforcer was making for the Navicorps room.
"He will have to die. Kill them all."
No energy blazed from cloaked weapons. The enforcer heading for the Navicorp sweep danced under the impact of the exotic matter coming at him from 2 sides. His armor came apart, the flesh underneath it running red as it was dissipated. He was dead in a moment. The leftmost of the enforcers remaining was hit square in the chest. His jump jets malfunctioned, sending him hurtling out of control into the city streets, his scream loud over the radio. The 3rd, however, did not die. Somehow he had managed to dodge the incoming energy blasts, some superior human technology guiding him, or perhaps gene-enhanced reflexes. He opened up with his laser rifle, the feared Genling, cutting down 2 of the 3 members of the 3rd triad, Joshin Go's cipher one of them. Kolhumin raised his gun and finished him himself.
"Hysan, Cipher Prime, the rest are coming!"
A staccato clatter came from the stairs as the remaining enforcers fired upwards from the atrium. Kolhumin recognized the sound of the heavier weaponry. High-energy pulse guns. Forgefather tech.
0.45 Elrond, Hysan, Cypher Prime,"
called Udash. The 7 surviving ciphers redeployed, 2 taking up station in the doorway to the Navicorps sweep, looking outward to guard against further aerial attack, the other 5 running to cover the tops of the twin staircases. The lack of cover now worked in the cipher's favor, and the enforcers could not advance without entering a storm of fire. They shot up the stairs, laying down disciplined fire pattern of their own as they attempted to advance. Qian, of Kolhumin's triad, executed a perfect somersault, tossing a grenade down the stairwell, but was caught in the leg by a lucky round. His stealth field collapsed. Before he hit the floor, he was riddled with laser bolts. There were 6 of them left. Goho Min had no time to check on how the true bodies of his men had taken these brutal disassociations. The enforcers responded with grenades of their own, driving the Cypher team back. An ugly, armored helmet appeared. Goho Min hit him square on, but the no-energy flared from its faceplate had no effect, and a returning burst of laser fire sent Goho Min leaping away.
We are clear. The signal is set. 5 Elrond, our mission is complete.
Withdraw,
ordered Goho Min.
Second triad, covering fire.
Pulses sent to the fallen Cyphers caused instant dissipation. No energy belted across the top of the stairs. The enforcers looked to be contained until a blaze of ruby-red light felled one of the Cyphers in the Navicorp suit. The enforcers had done well, drawing all their fire to near-side stairhead, while a pair of them had made it up the far side. Another 2 jetted suddenly out of the stairwell, right into the storm of no energy. One died, the other, protected by his armor, opened up, moving forward implacably.
Now,
shouted Goho Min. He threw himself at the window, his warriors following. He fired into it as he charged, sending armored plexiglass exploding outward. He flipped over the enforcer's laser beams, out into clear air, a twisting glimmer, the only glimpse they had of him, as his stealth field shorted out. Bolts of laser light chased him down. The ground came at him at a sickening speed. He dove at it fearlessly. The gravity chute built into his Cypher's armor, slowing him to a dead stop on Micro Elrond before he impacted. Then he was down and running, his remaining Cyphers with him, firing backwards as they ran.
Cease fire,
he ordered.
Reactivate stealth fields. Resume radio silence. Split up. They know my flankers.
Laser fire stabbed down all over the street, none of it finding its mark. Goho Min and his warriors melted back into the city. The thumping and elegant song of the human Navicorp blared loudly for 12 entire Elrons before the enforcers had the presence of mind to shut it off. The mission was accomplished. Back at the drop zone, Goho Min counted the cost of victory. Only 4 of his 10 Cyphers had returned. Another was severely damaged. Joshin Go had perished through the shock of disassociation. Preliminary reports suggested 2 others might not be fit for Cypher work again. A high cost, thought Goho Min. He watched the doors of the 6 empty Cypher pods slide close, and their gravity bursters sent them shooting back upwards, a high cost for questionable reasons. But one did not disobey the Prax, not if one valued anything at all.